What's in a name? Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today I just want to talk about the etymological origins of some common conditions. I've mentioned before that I love a good eponym, as the story behind the name helps cement the condition in my mind. And it is the same with etymology. If there's an interesting origin behind why something is named the way it is, then I find it remains lodged in my brain easier. These are often anatomical terms or conditions, so I thought it would be fun to share some of my favourites with you. I find these little pearls of knowledge can be fun to share with your patient and can help in telling a story as you describe their condition. So let's start with the palatine uvula, that dangly bit at the back of the throat that is often depicted as a boxing bag in Tom and Jerry or Tweety Pie cartoons. This little droplet of flesh plays a function in our swallow, and clinically we look for deviation in the presence of a peritonsillar abscess. But the name uvula has a Latin origin. Uva means grape, and a uvula is a little grape. So, say what you see. Now this next one is not a common bone for us to encounter in urgent care, but the vomer bone is one of the unpaired facial bones, and it forms the inferior part of the nasal septum. If you look at this bone, it looks a bit like an old-style farmer's plough, the sort you used to see being pulled behind an ox, and these were often called ploughshares. And so, vomer is so called because that is the Latin word for a ploughshare. Now, something we do see in urgent care is a torn frenulum. These will either be from intraoral trauma, injuring the labial frenulum, or it is an embarrassed male with a more intimate frenulum injury. But it is so called because in Latin, a frenum is a bridle and a frenulum is a little bridle. So this little bit of flesh that is tying down some more mobile tissue is a little bridle. Another thing we see a lot in urgent care, almost always incidentally, is one or more sesamoid bones. Patients often ask what these funny-looking lucencies are, and anyone with horses will usually comment that their horse has one too. But they're named for an Arabic word, sesamum. This refers to, and is where the English word comes from, sesame seeds. So a sesamoid was so called because it looks like a small sesame seed. And how about another bone, the hamate? You will all know that the hamate has a hook, which can be a common location for a hamate fracture. But hamate is named for the Latin hamus, which literally means a hook. And then what about the pisiform? Now this has a dual derivation. The Latin pisum and the Greek pison both mean P. So if you look at a pisiform, do you see a P? And a final bone now, the scaphoid. This bone, the most common carpal bone to fracture, always looks to me more like a kidney bean, but to some it looks like a boat. So this bone is named for the Greek for boat, scaphos, along with the Greek for kind, eidos. So I guess they mean it's kind of like a boat. But it could also have its nautical links via the Latin word for boat, which is navis. It was, at one point in anatomy history, referred to as the navicula of the wrist. And okay, now, so I'm going to sneak in an extra little bone name here. The navicula of the foot is named for its concave articular surface, which resembles a boat. Now, if you palpate a tenosynovitis, you will often document the presence of crepitus. I'd always thought of this more as an onomatopoeic word, but it is actually a straight Latin word meaning rattling. And there is something called a crepitaculum, which is an ancient instrument that looks a lot like a modern-day castanet. So I presume you used to rattle it. And what about when you diagnose epididymitis? You will know that the epididymis sits alongside the testy, and so if you break down the word, epi means on, and didymo is the Greek for twins. So I guess this means it's the part that sits on the twins. And for any of you who have done any water sports in New Zealand, you will know about the invasive algae called didymo, and this has the same origin as the algae have symmetrical wedge-shaped nodes, like twins, I guess. Staying below the belt, you will often diagnose balanitis in urgent care. This is an inflammation of the glands, but if the foreskin is involved, we should actually call it balanoposthitis. But where does the name come from? Well, the balan part comes from the Greek balano, which means acorn. Again, say what you see. And another one below the belt, the pilonidal abscess. We see these through urgent care quite often, but do you know why it's so named? Well, pilus is Latin for hair, and nidus is a nest. So as the natal cleft is prone to ingrowing hairs, this will then potentially lead to a pilonidal cyst or abscess. So whoever named this called it a nest of hair. And one final one. You will see paronychias and diagnose onychomycosis, but why do we use that particular word when we refer to nails? Well, onyx you will recognise as a gemstone, and it's a sort of pale mineral, and when you chip it into little fragments, it can often resemble fingernails. And onyx is the Greek word for claw or fingernail. Now, most of what I've said might be totally useless for your day-to-day practice, particularly as you've probably learnt all of this your own particular way, or you were aware of these derivations already. But I've always enjoyed learning medicine by hearing the history and the story behind it, and I think it helps stick in the brain. But where I think it is most useful is in giving your patients a little story behind their illness or injury. It can help explain their problem, which increases their understanding, and sometimes it even just helps raise a little smile. But if you have any interesting etymological derivations, let us know via the podcast at rnzcuc.org.nz. I will be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.